From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Kevin Foley reading Crystal Gazer and Chocotero Uprising, Book 6 and Book 7 of the Keohok Reborn series by Craig and Laura Fraley. Now, let's begin with Crystal Gazer. Chapter 1, Las Vegas, July, Present. Crystal knew something was wrong when Kirk came home with a dozen yellow roses, her favorite. She wasn't pregnant, and it wasn't her birthday or their anniversary, so that meant something was wrong. The roses made a beautiful centerpiece in the vase Crystal had found under the sink. It adorned a table set with pasta and tossed green salad. The food had barely been touched, and Kirk was on his third glass of wine. Another indication that something was wrong.
"Why can't a man bring his wife flowers just for the hell of it?" Kirk asked, swirling the red liquid around the brim of his glass.
"It's not your style, honey. The last time you brought me flowers was when I was pregnant."
Kirk looked at the empty place-setting, noticing for the first time that evening that his 11-year-old son wasn't there.
"You're pretty observant, detective," Crystal said as she cleared away the untouched dinner. "He's staying over at Ralph's tonight."
"On a school night?"
"It's Friday."
Crystal came back from the kitchen and poured herself a tall glass of wine. She figured whatever was bothering him was going to bother her, too.
She wanted to shout, "Well, what is it?"
But 17 years of marriage to a police detective had taught her patience beyond anything other housewives would consider possible. She sipped just enough of the warm wine to tickle her throat and enjoyed the beauty of the flowers before their meaning would make them ugly. Kirk turned the wine cork over and over in his hands, staring at each notch without seeing the cork at all. The worst duty Kirk ever had on the job was having to tell someone of a loved one's death. His stomach would knot up, and his palms would ring with sweat. In the beginning, he would have to drive around the block 3 or 4 times to prepare himself for the grief and pain his words would bring. As bad as those times were, Kirk would have traded them for what he had to tell Crystal now.
"There's been a murder in Lake Shinoah."
Kirk looked up. The sound of his own voice seemed foreign to him, as though someone else had spoken. He'd been thinking about how to say it when the words suddenly jumped from his brain and out of his mouth. "Well, at least we can get this blowout started and over with," he thought. Crystal drained her glass and took a long, slow breath. Kirk could see that she was working hard to not lose control. Her almond-shaped blue eyes, set against the features of her shoulder-length black hair, high cheekbones, and full pouting lips, made her the object of lust and jealousy at every department social function. But what those men who... Chapter 2 Kirk drove past the open double gates made of wrought iron with the interlocking initials J.S. He studied the 5-foot-high metal fence that was made to look like a huge corral surrounding the bunkhouse, main house, stable, barn, and horse corrals, all of which were under construction. Kirk found a spot out of the way of traffic and parked behind the framed bunkhouse. The air was filled with the sounds of construction: hammers, drills, saws, cement churners, trucks rolling in and out. Kirk stepped out of his car, drew in a deep breath, enjoying the smell of freshly cut lumber. His moment of enjoyment ended abruptly as the intense desert heat slammed him in the face. Kirk hadn't been out of his air-conditioned car for more than a few seconds, and he could already feel perspiration collecting on his forehead.
"Who are you?"
Kirk turned to see a young Keohok man with a black patch over his left eye and a badly scarred left cheek. Kirk's attention was quickly drawn to the rifle the man was holding down at his side.
I'm looking for Josh.
Kirk held up his right hand, motioning for...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?